Testimony Treasures, Volume 2, Chapter 79, The Sabbath School. The Highest Objective. The object of Sabbath school work should be the ingathering of souls. The order of working may be faultless, the facilities all that could be desired. But if the children and youth are not brought to Christ, the school is a failure. For unless souls are drawn to Christ, they become more and more unimpressionable under the influence of a formal religion. The teacher should cooperate as he knocks at the door of the heart of those who need help. If pupils respond to the pleading of the Spirit and open the door of the heart that Jesus may come in, he will open their understanding that they may comprehend the things of God. The teacher's work is simple work, but if it is done in the Spirit of Jesus, depth and efficiency will be added to it by the operation of the Spirit of God. There should be much personal work done in the Sabbath school. The necessity of this kind of work is not recognized and appreciated as it should be. From a heart filled with gratitude for the love of God, which has been imparted to the soul, the teacher should labor tenderly and earnestly for the conversion of his scholars. What evidence can we give to the world that the Sabbath school work is not a mere pretense? It will be judged by its fruits. It will be estimated by the character and work of the pupils. In our Sabbath schools, the Christian youth should be entrusted with responsibilities that they may develop their abilities and gain spiritual power. Let the youth first give themselves to God, and then let them in their early experience be taught to help others. This work will bring their faculties into exercise and enable them to learn how to plan and how to execute their plans for the good of their associates. Let them seek the company of those who need help, not to engage in foolish conversation, but to represent Christian character, to be laborers together with God, winning those who have not given themselves to God. We must educate the youth that they may learn how to work for the salvation of souls. And in educating the youth for this work, we shall also learn how to labor more successfully, becoming efficient agents in the hands of God for the conversion of our scholars. We must become imbued with the spirit of earnest labor and lay hold upon Christ, claiming Him as our only efficiency. Our minds must be enlarged that we may have a proper realization of the things pertaining to eternal life. Our hearts must be softened and subdued by the grace of Christ, that we may become true educators. Let superintendents and teachers inquire, "Do I believe the Word of God? Am I giving myself to Him who hath given Himself for me, suffering a cruel death upon the cross, that I might not perish but have everlasting life? Do we believe that Jesus is drawing the souls of those around us, even those who are living in impenitence and do not respond to His drawing power? Then, in contrition of soul, say, Master, I will draw with all my powers of influence. I will draw unto Thee. I trust in Thee and in Thee alone to touch and subdue the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit." Lesson Preparation. The Sabbath school affords to parents and children a precious opportunity for the study of God's Word. But in order to gain that benefit which they should gain in the Sabbath school, both parents and children should devote time to the study of the lessons, seeking to obtain a thorough knowledge of the facts presented, and also of the spiritual truths which these facts are designed to teach. We should especially impress upon the minds of the young the importance of seeking the full significance of the Scripture under consideration. Parents, set apart a little time each day for the study of the Sabbath school lesson with your children. Give up the social visit if need be, rather than sacrifice the hour devoted to the precious lessons of sacred history. Parents, as well as children, will receive benefit from this study. Let the more important passages of Scripture connected with the lesson be committed to memory, not as a task, but as a privilege. Though at first the memory may be defective, it will gain strength by exercise, so that after a time you will delight thus to treasure up the precious words of truth. And the habit will prove a most valuable aid to religious growth. Observe system in the study of the scriptures in your families. Neglect anything of a temporal nature. Dispense with all unnecessary sewing and with needless provision for the table, but be sure that the soul is fed with the bread of life. It is impossible to estimate the good results of 1 hour or even half an hour each day devoted in a cheerful, social manner to the Word of God. Make the Bible its own expositor, bringing together all that is said concerning a given subject at different times and under varied circumstances. Do not break up your home class for callers or visitors. If they come in during the exercise, invite them to take part in it. Let it be seen that you consider it more important to obtain a knowledge of God's Word than to secure the gains or pleasures of the world. The student of the Sabbath school should be in earnest, should dig deep and search with the greatest care for the precious gems of truth contained in the weekly lessons. The privileges and opportunities which they now have of becoming intelligent in regard to the Scriptures should not be neglected. God would have those who profess to be His followers thoroughly furnished with proof of the doctrines of His Word. When and where can this be better obtained than in youth at the Sabbath school? Parents should in no case treat this matter indifferently. The Sabbath school hour. The Sabbath school should be a place where the jewels of truth are searched for and rescued from their environment of error, and placed in their true setting in the framework of the gospel. Precious gems of truth, long lost sight of, are now to be restored to the children of God. The themes of justification by faith, the righteousness of Christ, should be presented in our schools, that the youth and children may understand these important subjects, and teachers and scholars may know the way of salvation. Sacred and eternal principles connected with the plan of salvation have long been lost from sight, but they must be restored to their proper place in the plan of salvation and made to appear in their heavenly light and penetrate the moral darkness in which the world is enshrouded. In order to do the will of God, we must search His Word that we may know His doctrine, and put to the task all our entrusted ability. We must be diligent in prayer and fervent in simple, wholehearted service to God. Those who are engaged as teachers in the Sabbath school should hunger and thirst for divine truth, that they may impart this spirit to those under their care and lead their pupils to seek for truth as for hidden treasure. We do not want our Sabbath schools conducted in such a way as to make hypocrites of the pupils, for such cannot advance the interests of true religion. Then let there be more attention given to seeking God, that the Spirit of the Lord may be in your school, than that you may have every mechanical arrangement you desire. High pretensions of any kind are out of place in the Sabbath school work, and the mechanical working of the school is of little value if the Spirit of God does not soften and mold the hearts of teachers and pupils. In some schools, I am sorry to say, the custom prevails of reading the lesson from the lesson sheet. This should not be, it need not be, if the time that is often needlessly and even sinfully employed were given to the study of the Scriptures. There is no reason why Sabbath school lessons should be less perfectly learned by teachers or pupils than are the lessons of the day school. They should be better learned, as they treat of subjects infinitely more important. A neglect here is displeasing to God. The object of the Sabbath school should not be lost sight of in mechanical arrangements, thus occupying time which should be given to other important matters. we should ever be guarded against forms and ceremonies which will eclipse the real object for which we are laboring. There is danger of carrying system to such an extreme that the Sabbath school will become weariness, when, on the contrary, it should be a rest, a refreshment, and a blessing. The purity and simplicity of the Sabbath school must not be swallowed up in such an endless variety of forms that sufficient time cannot be devoted to religious interests. The beauty and success of the school are in its simplicity and earnestness in serving God. Nothing can be done without order and regulation, but these may be arranged so as to shut out greater and more important duties. Less should be said to the scholars about the external preliminaries and system, and much more should be said in regard to the salvation of their souls. This must be made the ruling principle of the school. The great want in the Sabbath school is not the want of machinery, but the want of knowledge in spiritual things. How greatly do the workers need a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they may become true missionaries for God? Gathering weekly mission offerings. We thank God that our Sabbath schools have contributed enough to advance many a precious enterprise. Children and youth have given their pennies, that, like little rivulets, have supplied a stream of beneficence. Children should be educated in such a way that they may perform unselfish acts which heaven will rejoice to see. When the dew of youth is upon them, children should be trained how to do service for Christ. They should be taught self-denial. This matter of giving is not left to impulse. God has given us definite instruction in regard to it. He has specified tithes and offerings as the measure of our obligation, and He desires us to give regularly and systematically. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Let each regularly examine his income, which is all a blessing from God, and set apart the tithe as a separate fund, to be sacredly the Lord's. This fund should not in any case be devoted to any other use. It is to be devoted solely to support the ministry of the gospel. After the tithe is set apart, let gifts and offerings be apportioned as God hath prospered you. Under the Jewish economy, on the birth of children, an offering was made to God by His own appointment. On birthday occasions, the children should be taught that they have reason for gratitude to God for His loving kindness in preserving their lives for another year. Precious lessons might thus be given. For life, health, food, and clothing, no less than for the hope of eternal life, we are indebted to the Giver of all mercies, and it is due to God to recognize His gifts and to present our offerings of gratitude to our greatest benefactor. These birthday gifts are recognized of heaven. Soul-winning objectives. As workers for God, we want more of Jesus and less of self. We should have more of a burden for souls, and should pray daily that strength and wisdom may be given us for the Sabbath. Teachers, meet with your classes. Pray with them, and teach them how to pray. Let the heart be softened, and the petitions short and simple, but earnest. Let your words be few and well chosen, and let them learn from your lips and your example that the truth of God must be rooted in their hearts, or they cannot stand the test of temptation. We want to see whole classes of young people being converted to God and growing up useful members of the church. Do not allow all your strength and energy to be given to worldly, temporal things during the week, and so have no energy and moral strength to give to the service of Christ on the Sabbath. There is earnest work to be done just now. We have not a moment's time to use selfishly. Let all we do be done with an eye single to the glory of God. Never rest till every child in your class is brought to the saving knowledge of Christ. The Sabbath school teachers have need of walking carefully and prayerfully before God. They must labor as those who must give an account. They are given an opportunity to win souls for Christ, and the longer the youth remain in impenitence, the more confirmed they become in their resistance of the Spirit of God. With increase of years, it is probable that there will be a decrease of sensibility to divine things, a diminished susceptibility to the influences of religion. Every day, Satan works to fasten them in their habits of disobedience, their spirit of impenitence, and there is less probability that they will become Christians. And what shall be the account finally to be rendered by indifferent teachers? Why does moral diffidence bind the soul of the teacher and make him reluctant to put forth proper efforts for the conversion of precious souls of youth and children? Why not let the Holy Spirit create an atmosphere about the soul that will drive away moral darkness and bring heavenly light to others? Our Sabbath school workers need to be especially imbued with the Spirit of Christ. They cannot be co-workers with Christ unless they have Him abiding in their hearts by faith. The children need a more decided effort in regard to religious culture. The leading workers and the teachers should labor for perfect harmony. There should be cooperation on the part of parents, children, and teachers. Let every worker labor for wisdom and tact, that he may put forth that well-directed effort which God requires. We are to cultivate tact and sharp discernment, to be quick to see opportunities to do good, and to seize these opportunities and make the most of them. The officers and teachers in the Sabbath school need the guidance and instruction of the Holy Spirit, that they may be true educators, able to inspire thought and to bring to remembrance the things that they have taught their pupils. It is the office of the Holy Spirit to bring to mind, in clear, distinct lines, the words and works of Christ, that those who teach concerning the Redeemer of the world may have power to lift up Christ before the minds of their classes. In all the arrangements of the Sabbath school, there is need of the help of the Holy Spirit, in order that men and women may be chosen to fill the responsible positions of superintendents, officers, and teachers, who are men and women of God. The officers and teachers. In selecting officers from time to time, be sure that personal preferences do not rule, but place in positions of trust those whom you are convinced love and fear God, and who will make God their counselor. Without the love and fear of God, however brilliant the intellect may be, there will be failure. Jesus says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." This matter of choosing officers should not be left to the control of the Sabbath school scholars. To change the officers frequently will be an advantage to the school, for one man's mind is not to mold all other minds. He may have some excellent qualifications, and yet in some things be deficient. Another chosen may be efficient where the other was lacking. Different minds and qualities will bring in fresh ideas, fresh lines of thought, and this is essential. But above everything else, select those who, in the simplicity of their souls, are walking in the truth, who love and fear God, and take their lessons in His school. Such will carry the scholars forward and upward. Under wise teachers, the scholars will gain increased interest for the Word of God and have deeper insight into the Scriptures. The Lord calls for young men and women to gird themselves for lifelong, earnest labor in the Sabbath school work. Spasmodic efforts will not avail to accomplish much good or to make you successful laborers in the work of God. By patient continuance in well-doing, you are to become laborers together with God. You are to reckon yourselves the servants of God by the day. Be diligent in your work for one day, and see that you make no crooked paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned out of the path of rectitude by your misdoings. Every teacher in the Sabbath school should be a follower of Christ, and those who have not identified themselves as the disciples of Christ, showing by a consistent life that they are Christians, should not be invited to become teachers in the Sabbath school, for they have need that someone first teach them the foundation principles of love and fear of God. Without me, Christ says, ye can do nothing. Then of what value would be the teaching of one who knew nothing by personal experience of the power of Christ? It would be a great inconsistency to urge such a one to take a class in the Sabbath school. But it is even worse to permit a class to be under the influence of a teacher whose dress and deportment deny the Savior whom he professes to serve. Those who teach in Sabbath school must have their hearts warmed and invigorated by the truth of God, being not hearers only, but also doers of the word. They should be nourished in Christ as the branches are nourished in the vine. The dews of heavenly grace should fall upon them, that their hearts may be like precious plants, whose buds open and expand, and give forth a grateful fragrance, as flowers in the garden of God. Teachers should be diligent students of the Word of God, and ever reveal the fact that they are learning daily lessons in the school of Christ, and are able to communicate to others the light they have received from Him who is the great teacher, the light of the world. Teachers should feel their responsibility and make use of every opportunity to improve, that they may render the best kind of service in a manner that will result in the salvation of souls. God has given the gift of reason and intellect to one worker the same as He has to another. And according to your ability, you are to put your talents out to the exchangers. The Lord would not have any worker the mere shadow of another whom He admires. The teacher must grow up into the measure of the stature of Christ, not to the measure of some finite, erring mortal. You are to grow in grace, and where is grace to be found? Only in Christ, the divine pattern. Then let everyone look to Christ and copy the divine model. Let every worker tax his powers to the utmost to work in harmony with the plan of God. Let him learn in the school of Christ that he may be wise in instructing others. Those who are committed to the care of the teacher in the Sabbath school will need the wisdom and experience that God can give to the follower of Christ. Let the teacher learn of Christ's meekness and lowliness of heart, that he may be a true teacher and win his pupils to Christ, that they, in turn, may become faithful missionaries in the great harvest field. There is a dearth of educated ability among us, and we have not men who are sufficiently trained to do justice to the work of managing our Sabbath schools and churches. Many who know the truth still do not understand it in such a way that they could hold their own in its presentation. They are not prepared to present it in such a way that its sacred, majestic character will be clear to the people. Instead of less discipline, they need more thorough training. It is impossible for anyone to foresee to what he may be called. He may be placed in situations where he will need quick discernment and well-balanced arguments, and therefore it is for the honor of Christ that well-educated workers should be multiplied among us. They will be better able to communicate the truth in a clear, intelligent way, and the truth should be presented in a way that will be as free as possible from defects. God's instrumentalities. I feel a deep interest in our Sabbath schools throughout the land, because I believe them to be instrumentalities of God for the education of our youth in the truths of the Bible. Constant efforts should be made by both parents and teachers to interest the youth in matters of eternal importance. The Sabbath school is a missionary field and very much more of the missionary spirit should be manifested in this important work than has been manifested in the past.